epistle appointed to be read for the Feast of the Ascension is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach until the day on which giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They therefore who were come together asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou that this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they, going forth, preached everywhere the Lord, working withal and confirming the word with signs that followed. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God. Words taken from today's gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to begin by telling you about Venerable Magdalene Dubois. Venerable Magdalene Dubois was born in Paris in the year 1578. She was the first woman in France to enter the Order of the Descalced Carmelite Nuns, which order had been established by St. Teresa of Avila in Spain in the mid-16th century. In the year 1604, after the Descalced Carmelite Nuns had arrived in France from Spain, Magdalene Dubois and a few others entered the convent of the Incarnation in Paris. And faithful to the rule of the order and to the religious spirit of Saint Teresa, Sister Magdalene Dubois helped in firmly establishing the Descalced Carmelites in France by founding other convents and forming and educating the young religious. She died a holy death in Paris on April 30th in the year 1637. A certain biographer records that when she was a small child growing up in Paris, she was standing at the door of her father's house as a funeral procession was passing by. As the procession was going along, she remained there for some time until she finally asked her nanny what they were doing. The woman responded that they are carrying the body of a young woman to the grave because she is dead. "And must I also die?" asked the little Magdalene Dubois. "Yes, my child," the woman answered, "we must all die, and our souls must go to heaven or to hell for all eternity." "And how long is eternity?" asked Magdalene. "Is it longer than a day?" "My child," the woman replied, "eternity has no end. Eternity means forever and ever." According to this biographer, the little Magdalene Dubois asked no more questions. But from that moment, the thought of eternity hardly left her mind. Sometimes, he wrote, she was heard to say to herself, "An eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. We must all one day die. But when this life is over, there begins one that will never end." And thus did she always strive to live her life in such a way so as to obtain an eternity of joy and glory with God in heaven. Today, my dear friends, we celebrate the glorious ascension of our Lord into heaven. The Church has kept the Feast of the Ascension since the time of the Apostles. In fact, St. Augustine, who lived in the middle of the 4th century, said that the Feast of the Ascension is of such antiquity that it was universally observed in the Church long before his time. The Feast of the Ascension is the crown on our Lord's work of redemption. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost of the most pure and blessed Virgin Mary in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem in a cold, dark cave. He lived a life of prayer and silence and solitude for almost 30 years. He spent the last 3 years of his life establishing his church. And having taken our sins upon himself, he paid the price for them at Jerusalem by his passion and death. In the Garden of Gethsemane, abandoned by his apostles, our divine Savior suffered much anguish and grief on account of our sins. So much that he could have died of sorrow and sadness even then. He was falsely accused, scourged, spit upon, and crowned with thorns. He carried the cross to Calvary and hung upon it for 3 hours. But 3 days later, he arose from the dead and was victorious over his enemies. And 40 days after that, he ascended into the eternity of heaven, where, as we proclaim in the Apostles' Creed, he sits at the right hand of God the Father. You know, long before the coming of Christ, there were some Greek and Roman philosophers and writers who sought to understand and explain the concept of eternity. A certain Greek writer named Simonides, who lived 500 years before Christ, said of eternity that the more he thought about it, the less and less clear did it appear to him. In other words, he could not adequately understand nor explain it. But my dear friends, by the light of divine revelation, we have an adequate understanding of the notion of eternity. And thus a certain Catholic theologian once wrote, "What is eternity?" "It is," he replied, "duration ever present. It is one perpetual today, which does not go over into the past or the future." Eternity, he continues, is the age of ages, which does not perish, but maintains itself always in the same way. It is a beginning without beginning. It is a middle without an end. It is a beginning, he says, ever interminable and always beginning, in which the blessed continually enter upon a blessed life and perpetually abound with new delights in heaven, but the damned always die in hell. And after all death and the struggle of death, again it begins continually. And thus they die over and over. And as long as God will be God, this writer concludes, so long will the blessed be happy, so long will they reign and triumph in heaven, but so long will the condemned endure unspeakable burnings. The Venerable Magdalene Dubois sought to live her life here so as to obtain an eternity of joy with God in heaven. And thus did she strive to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him in this world according to her state in life. And we must do the same, my dear friends. But among the many things which moved her, which inspired her, was her simple understanding of the reality of eternity. "We must all one day die," she would say. "But when this life is over, there begins one that will never end." We too, my dear people, we must, as I said, ever strive to know, to love, and to serve God here, according to our state in life, so that we will one day be happy with Him forever in heaven. And as we do this, we too should throughout our lives reflect upon the reality of eternity. A reality that awaits us after this short life. An eternity of joy, an eternity of peace, an eternity of glory in heaven for those who die in the state of grace. Or, God forbid, an eternity of torment, despair, and suffering for those who die in the state of unrepented mortal sin. May we persevere in our belief in and practice of our Catholic faith. May we be ever faithful to God and His holy commandments. May we ever live our lives in the state of sanctifying grace so that we may die in the state of grace. And may we, for the love of our good Savior, patiently suffer and endure the crosses and trials that He in His goodness allows to come upon us. For you must understand, my dear friends, and you must take to heart that bodily sufferings and sickness, humiliations and crosses are willed and allowed by God to purify our hearts, to detach us from this world, and to sanctify us. We must all then strive to patiently suffer the crosses of our state in life. This our Lord Himself commanded when He said, "He who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." For just as there would be no triumphal ascension of Christ into heaven unless there was first the sufferings, humiliations, and the sorrows of his passion and death, so there can be no ascending into heaven for us unless there is first patience and perseverance in taking up our cross, that is, patiently enduring the sufferings, the temptations, and the sorrows of this valley of tears. You know, St. John Chrysostom, a great 4th century bishop and father of the church, once said of Catholics who complained about crosses and suffering. He said, "What are you doing? You are preparing," he said, "in this life to ascend to heaven. But you ask that you nowhere now encounter any suffering." This great saint then went on to explain that it is only through the confines of suffering and self-denial that the eternity of heaven is obtained, as our divine Savior himself has shown us. Persevere, my dear friends, in living your lives in the state of grace, and in striving to patiently bear the crosses and sufferings of this present life. As we celebrate this glorious feast of the Ascension and look forward with confidence to our own ascending to heaven someday, we pray to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary in the words of St. Alphonsus de Liguori, "O Lady, change us, we beseech thee, from sinners into saints. Work this miracle. Make us saints. Thou art so powerful with God, we need only say that thou art his mother, his beloved one, his most dear one. Filled with his grace, what can Jesus ever deny thee? O most beautiful Queen, we too desire to go to paradise, and it is thou who must obtain for us this grace." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.